chapter 17 and verse 5 is what I want to read. I'm just going to read this one verse, probably talk some more about some others. But there's one thing in particular, and I'm trying not to be long this morning, because I found something that just kind of struck me, and it's indicative of the day we live in. It is a sure sign, actually, of the way things are and what the world doesn't understand and what we do understand. Now, this is the Mount of Transfiguration. And, well, Matthew 17 and verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now, what I found out while I was playing on my computer in the Bible program is there are only two places in the King James Version where those three words are used. I searched for "hear ye him" because I wanted to see if there was another one. Because this thing that actually happened is recorded in the three Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But the other two say "hear him." And I knew one of them, and I couldn't remember which one, said, "Hear ye him." And that's the one I wanted to find, and that's what I looked. And I found it, but I also found there's another scripture that uses those exact three English words in the translation in another place. And we'll get to that in a minute. But there are only two. Both are in the New Testament, and both are in Gospels, but they are in different Gospels, and they are used, these three words, "hear ye him," are used in exactly opposite manners. This is the word of the Lord. Hear ye him. The other one means exactly the opposite. And I'll show it to you in a little bit. Because this is to me, you know, it's one of the things that is clearly covered in both, actually all three of what they call it, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three of them have this event in there. And all three of them talk about Jesus Christ being transfigured, and behold, Moses and Elias, which is Elijah, talking with him. The one place where they actually speak of, where they talk about what they were talking about, it was in Luke. And it says, "And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." Now, this is kind of become a theme because toward the end of chapter 16, Christ starts telling them in verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Peter rebuked him right after that. He said, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be." He turns and he calls Peter Satan. "Get thee behind me, Satan." But on the Mount of Transfiguration, he takes up James and John and guess who? Peter. And they're up there talking about his decease, the things that were going to happen. Then, of course, Peter speaks up and says, "It's good to be here." And it was. He said, "Let's make three tabernacles here." No, that's not the point. He must go to Jerusalem. And these things must happen. And at this time, they were not going to be pleasant. but I must go to Jerusalem, and I must suffer many things. We're not staying on the Mount of Transfiguration, not now. But then while Peter was answering out of himself, the voice came from heaven. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And he doesn't say that about anybody else, because nobody else deserves it. But Christ did deserve it. "Hear ye him." There's lots of people out there, and that's what we'll find out from our second part. There's lots of people out there who want to see Christ, but they don't want to hear him. They want to know Jesus, but they don't want to hear him. The word of the Lord God Almighty is this. The word of the Father is this. Hear ye him. Because what he says is important, is true, is the truth. And that's why we deal in words. And all we're trying to relate, and all I'm trying to relate while I'm up here, is things that Christ has said. Things that are true about him. We are to hear ye him. This was not a request. This was a command from God, and it's for everyone. The I understand how people can use the terminology, we live in an age of grace. But the law still condemns. The law hasn't gone anywhere. The law is not something that could pass away or ever will pass away. The law is truth. The law reveals a bit of God and what, well, I don't know. Just the Ten Commandments reveal a character that I wish I had. I wish I could honor my father and mother. I wish I wouldn't covet. I wish I wouldn't, but I do. The law hasn't gone anywhere. Christ is the end of the law, but he is only the end of the law for righteousness. And only the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You got to have the whole sentence there, the whole phrase. You know, people, I've heard them. Christ is the end of the law. No, he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believeth. Okay, now, if you don't believe, he's not the end of the law for righteousness for you. Sorry. It's exclusionary. Yes, it is. Just like it always has been. But when God said, "Hear ye him," he meant, "Hear ye him." The words of this book are about Christ. And in those words, we have the actual words of Christ. And we are to hear them. Now, let me get... The second place this is used, is actually where I spent a couple of weeks. It's in John 10. And if you want to, turn there. And you'll see how man can take those same three words and put something else in front of them. And be exactly the opposite of what the command of the Lord is. Now this is in John chapter 10. And verse 19 is where it'll start. It's in verse 20. Christ has just said for the last time, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, my life. And I have the power to take it again. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Why are you listening to this guy? Well, God said to. It's the command of the Lord, hear ye him. But other people are so depraved. And still depraved. And still dead in trespasses and in sins. And do not have the life. And they do not understand why even other people will hear him. They're not going to hear him themselves. They are exactly opposite of the commandment of God. Hear ye him. They're asking other people, why will you hear him?
Yeah.
Why? And I thought about that. And I come to the conclusion, Walter, I have to. I have no choice. Because I want to hear him. I love to hear him. I love his word. I want his word. I want to understand his word. I want to understand him as best I can. Jesus talked, and there was a division. Go figure. Get used to it. This is the natural state of affairs. When Christ talks, some will say, why are you hearing him? But others will say, let's hear some more. That's the way it is. This is the way man is, however you want to say it. Because this is a part of the truth of God, the words of Jesus Christ causes divisions. There were divisions when he spoke, and there are divisions now when you will speak the words of Christ. Some will hear him. And some will not hear him. And one of the hardest things to learn is I have absolutely no control over either way. I don't have any control over who doesn't hear him, but I don't have any control over who does. It doesn't matter how simply I can explain it and go step by step in logic, because logic's not going to do the job. Even though there is an order. It is an order. Christ gives life. Faith. Conversion. There is an order to this. And then growth and grace in the knowledge of the Lord. And it is logical in his word. What these people have a problem with is they want to take their logic and try to apply Christ's words to it. They want to take their order and try to twist or pick out verses or pieces of verses to prove their points. They don't want to hear ye him. They don't want to hear him. And they don't understand why we hear him. And they never will unless God gives them life. Man is still depraved. Man still loves darkness. Matter of fact, he loves darkness rather than the light. Man seeks for safety in the shadows, in the dark. And Walter, even that article I read, even behind sunglasses. But there's nowhere the light can't go. I've read many books, and sometimes authors will use wonderful, nice sounding words trying to describe the darkness and how it swallows up a light beam, Walter. Well, then you need a bigger bulb. And there is no bigger bulb. There is Jesus Christ is the light. He is light and he is the light. And men hate that. The natural man hates the light. And they can't understand why we love the light. Why do you hear him? Why? Peter answered it this way. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Yeah. He has the words of eternal life. These Jews heard the words of Christ in John 10, and there was a division among them. And I know it's contrary to the opinion and the position of almost every preacher and professed Christian in the world, but that's normal. That's what this book will do. It will divide households. Why do I hear him? Well, God said to. That's actually more reason than I need, Walter, to hear him, is that the Lord said to hear him. Hear ye him. The holy God spoke out of a cloud to mortal words and mortal worms, red maggots, and said, hear ye him. The Lord called him his son, in whom he's well pleased. Hear ye him. The unbeliever will never know why believers hear him unless the one with the words of eternal life makes him a believer. And I've had that happen, and it's a joyous thing. He says, to where somebody actually tells you, I see why you say what you say. Unbelievers are still in the kingdom of darkness, but we have been transformed into the kingdom of his dear son. Hear ye him. These two uses of the same three words show forth the two ways that Christ is heard. He's either heard, or he's heard and not understood. No matter how plain the English, no matter how plain the words, it doesn't matter to the unregenerate heart. The change has to come from God. I've been ordered to hear him, and I want to hear him. And I love to hear him. But the world can't even understand why we bother hearing him. No one, this is part of what they don't understand, no one will ever hear the Son of God unless he speaks to you. And if he does speak to you, you'll hear him. He calls his sheep by name. That's one of the things he was just telling them. And they hear his voice and they follow. He goes down here. Jesus answered, verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. They said, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And they took up stones to stone him. I can't explain to an unbeliever why I would hear his words, why I would hear him. I see in the world, as we're out in it, while I'm working or while I'm out and about, you'll see, and I see it, I don't know how to put it other than an overwhelming lack of any kind of knowledge of the words of Christ. I've had people ask me questions just like, I don't know why in the world are you asking that? Because to me, well, this is natural to me. This is in me. The truth of God. Why do you go 30, 40 miles up the road to go to church? Because the gospel's preached. I want to hear him. You can go right down the road. Yeah, I could, but I wouldn't hear him there. I've been down the road. I don't want to be there anymore. I want to be where the gospel is preached and Christ is extolled and the Son of God, who's coming again, is proclaimed. I want to hear his words. And if you don't want to hear his words, don't worry, you won't. You won't get it. You won't understand. I didn't for 23 years. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for what you have given your people. You have given life, and you have given light, and you have given knowledge, and you have given yourself to us. Your Holy Spirit dwells within us and teaches us and has given us the desire to hear you, to love you, to want to know more and to be more. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.